And now we have Simon Marks joining us live on the broadcast. Simon, thank you so much for being with us here on We On World Is One. Talk to us as we speak. We understand that 200 protesters have been arrested and many policemen have been injured in New York.
Yes, absolutely. Look, this was a night of violent clashes between protesters and police in major cities all over the country. Some of those clashes took place in Brooklyn outside the Barclays Center. Between police and protesters, there are all sorts of videos on social media showing police meeting out some considerable force to protesters as they attempted to clear the area. It was, of course, in Minneapolis where the situation was worse, because the authorities there lost control of the city. The governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, has conceded that they completely lost control of the city last night, to the extent that he has decided now, for the first time in history, to mobilize the entire Minnesota National Guard. That's 13,000 members of the Minnesota National Guard in a bid to try and get back control of Minneapolis when tonight we presume there will be another standoff with demonstrators. And as you said, the governor of Minnesota is conceding now that these protests are about more than simply George Floyd. Minnesota officials say that many of these protesters that were arrested last night came from out of state. President Trump on his Twitter feed is claiming that these protests are professionally managed, organized groups, he said, that have nothing to do with George Floyd. But in reality, what's happening here is that George Floyd has served as the spark that has reignited the Black Lives Matter movement all over the country. And then you couple that with a situation where the United States now has 40 million people out of work, has lost 103,000 people to COVID-19. Everyone has got guns, and we're at the beginning of a very long, hot summer here. It all adds up to enormous trouble for the United States.
Simon, Trump has been tweeting nonstop over the past hour or so, and we've seen him repeatedly say that these are not protests in favor of George Floyd. He's talking about this being an organized group. He's calling them thugs, and he's complimenting the Secret Service for controlling the situation around the White House where protests took place.
Well, I think he's actually done even more than that, because in one of his tweets today, he appears to be encouraging his supporters to descend on the White House tonight and confront demonstrators who will be back outside the White House. I mean, I think it's important to just address what happened at the White House yesterday. The compound was locked down for several hours as protesters laid siege to Pennsylvania Avenue right here in the middle of the country. Their frustration and fury, not just over the George Floyd issue, but broader anger over Donald Trump's stewardship of America, resulting in a very tense standoff that went on for several hours with members of the Secret Service. Now, on Twitter today, President Trump, rather than delivering a message of national calm and urging people to allow their inflamed passions to calm down, he has himself further run the risk of inflaming those passions, saying that if protesters last night had breached the security fence that surrounds the White House, they would have been greeted, as he put it, with the most vicious dogs and most ominous weapons I have ever seen. That's when people, he wrote, would have been really badly hurt, at least. That's another intimation that the president is actually threatening to use the Secret Service to shoot protesters should they breach the security walls of the White House. And then in another tweet, he says, tonight, I understand, is MAGA night at the White House. MAGA being Make America Great Again, the acronym that is used by his supporters. So he definitely appears in these tweets to be whipping the situation up rather than calming it down.
And this even as a pandemic is raging on, Simon, there's questions on how to reopen the economy. And in the middle of it all, this is utter chaos to have these protests take place. And these protests are not restricted to one particular part of the U.S. They're taking place everywhere. And more importantly, in some of the hardest hit zones in the country, like New York.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think this is a very, very dangerous moment for the United States. Certainly the most dangerous moment since the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles of 1992 sparked protests all over the country. Arguably the most dangerous moment since the Vietnam protests occurred back in the 1960s and 70s with demonstrators voicing their opposition to America's involvement in Vietnam. And, you know, back in May of 1970, with the White House at the time besieged by protesters, President Richard Nixon one night left the White House. He went to the Lincoln Memorial here in Washington to meet with some of those demonstrators, better to understand what their position was with regard to the Vietnam War. That was Richard Nixon, a disgraced president, ultimately, who had to leave office over the Watergate scandal. We are not seeing anything like that approach to this by President Donald Trump. Eager as he is to divert everyone's attention away from his handling of the coronavirus pandemic, he now presides over a country that really, at the moment, is a tinderbox and, in the state of Minnesota, a flashpoint where state authorities totally lost control of the city of Minneapolis last night.
And we've seen Trump repeatedly attack the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, and he's reiterating that same point which he's been making about Democrat-controlled states just not doing enough, just not being good enough.
Well, there's a theme here. You're absolutely right. On Twitter, the president attacked the mayor of Minneapolis, accusing him of being a liberal Democrat. How come all of these places that defend so poorly are run by liberal Democrats, wrote the president. Get tough and fight. That's an echo with regards to the rioting in Minneapolis of what he's been saying about COVID-19. He's argued that COVID-19 has particularly impacted states that are run by and popular with Democrats, places like New York, like California, like Illinois, like Michigan. And he's gone to political battle with several of the Democrats who run those states. So again, another example of the president choosing to sow division politically in the United States at exactly the moment when what the United States needs from its president is a message of national unity and healing. And one has to ask whether Donald Trump is incapable of delivering that kind of message because he genuinely doesn't believe in it, or whether he's simply unwilling to do that because as he enters a re-election battle that is going to be very tough for him between now and November against former Vice President Joe Biden, he wants to shore up his grassroots support, and he firmly believes that the way to do that is to get tough and battle the Democrats down in the streets where it counts on every particular issue, whether it's COVID-19, George Floyd, the protests that has engendered. Every time the president has the choice, he's at the fork in the road between sowing a message of unity or seeking to exploit political divisions, he always avoids the unity fork and takes the other turn.
Simon Marks joining us with that ground report live from Washington, D.C. in the U.S. Thank you, Simon, for being with us here on the broadcast on We On World is One.